Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday morning show, this December 30th. Already the end of the year, the last Tuesday morning show, the last morning show for the year, as it goes on hiatus over the New Year's holiday for the rest of the week. We've got a great show today lined up, a perennial guest, Dennison Soul. Good morning, Dennison. Let's get on with the show. This morning we have, as I mentioned, Dennison Webb, Executive Director of Selkirk Outdoor Leadership Education, with us today. We're going to talk all things soul coming up for the new year. It always starts off with soul with a bang the first week or two, and we're going to talk about that. Dennison, just give us a little background on yourself for first-time listeners. Even in the winter, we have some people moving into the area
sure.
new. So.
Yeah, we're expanding here in our community. I came to Sandpoint approximately 20 years ago. I worked at a therapeutic boarding school, developed an outdoor leadership program there. My career has taken me all over the United States, leading expeditions for the National Outdoor Leadership School, colleges, universities, all that good stuff. We came to Sandpoint, and what I saw was really a lack of accessibility to intentional outdoor education, experiential education programs for youth. So myself and another gentleman named Eric Yost, who's since moved to Utah, founded Soul, you know, with the intent to bring those programs to our community. And Snow School, we're going to talk about that a lot, but that's really one of our, or probably is our signature program, which is really a partnership between a lot of different organizations and foundations, which puts between 300 and 500 local youth on the snow every winter to learn about our watershed and our snow, the importance of our snowpack, and a hands-on, you know, boots on the ground kind of methodology. But it's a really cool program, really robust. It's a 3-day program, and every fifth grader in the Lake Ponderay School District is afforded the program.
We'll get into the details of that.
Okay.
Tell us your background. Bill. How did you get into this outdoor education thing, leading kids for Knowles?
Yeah, that's a great question. My grandmother, actually, before she passed, and when I graduated college, she gave me a outdoor educator course as a graduation gift to go to Alaska. And when I went there, I was an outdoor recreation major at North Georgia College. It's now North Georgia University. It's growing exponentially, but at the time, it was North Georgia College, and graduated, went on that trip, and went up to Alaska. It was blown away by the experience. It was that experience that kind of galvanized everything else that I've been doing throughout my whole entire life, really, just spending time in the woods, and, you know, I'm an Eagle Scout and all that good stuff. But that Knowles trip was the opportunity where I was like, I can actually do this for a career, I thought.
That's a big state. Where did you go? What did you do?
Alaska?
Yeah.
We backpacked for 30 days in the Talkeetna Mountains. Very awesome trip. You know, didn't go according to plan, of course. You know, expeditions usually don't, so you have to adapt and, as a group, you know, work with that. And, you know, because you got to get your food, you know, your food drop when the plane comes in. You have to cross that river, so we had to, like, navigate some, you know, pretty challenging terrain, from glaciers to rivers to all kinds of good stuff, just to get to our food.
Yeah, a lot of things can change, but a few are fixed. Entrance, exit points, usually.
This is true. And, food. Yes. Yeah. But it was an awesome trip, and it, I backpacked my entire life in the Appalachians and whatnot, but it was that trip that just opened my eyes out to the expanse of the West, and just kind of that exposure to it.
Then what brought you to Sandpoint? How did you figure that Sandpoint would be an area ripe for this kind of work?
Yeah, that's a great question. When I was working at Knowles, I worked all over. I worked in Driggs, Idaho. I had worked in Vernal, Utah, you know, mainly doing river expeditions, Alaska. But, so I had some exposure to Idaho, but I saw a postcard at some point. I can't remember where it was, in fact. You know, I lived in Fort Collins at the time, Colorado, and there's a postcard of Sandpoint, an aerial view of the actual city beach and all that. And I was like, man, that's beautiful. It looks like it has four seasons. I love four seasons. And although our four seasons are short sometimes.
Yeah. Some of the four are. Some are longer than others.
Yeah. But it was beautiful. And I love the color of the trees, et cetera. And so I came to visit. There was, like I said, as I mentioned, I had an opportunity to interview for a job, came out there, and I love the area. I fell in love with the area. You know, I'm an avid waterfowl hunter and fisherman, as well as, you know, other outdoor pursuits. And this is obviously an area that has a lot of that. So,
excellent. So you moved here, and snow school wasn't the first thing you did.
No.
How did the tell us about the roots of Soul?
Yeah. So again, you know, myself and Eric Yost were working both at a therapeutic boarding school out in Montana, and we again saw the need for, you know, experiential education, you know, more access to it in this community. You know, as a kid, I had a ton of opportunities to do that kind of stuff, and I really benefited from that because I'm not a traditional learner. You know, I'm the kid that's getting in trouble in school and going to the principal's office and all that stuff because I can't stay focused.
A lot of these programs are oriented towards the bad kids. The so-called therapy is a lot of times parents are sent there, courts sent them there to get them straight.
So wilderness therapy is really a separate field, if you will, within experiential education. Mm-hmm. And what we were trying to bring here was not necessarily, we do dabble in some of that, do therapeutic interventions for schools and things like that, but really the primary focus for us developing Soul was to bring the other programs that, like, for example, the schools that didn't have access to, leadership type programs for sports teams, you know, just hands-on learning, you know, if any way, shape, or form that really we could get and activate those kids in that manner.
Because every kid can benefit from this.
Absolutely, and the research shows that, right? Yeah. So, you know, it started out with Richard Louv 20 years ago writing that book, Last Child in the Woods, and, you know, him compiling all of that data and research showing the benefits and as well as the negative consequences or outcomes of being wired into technology all the time. So in the youth brain specifically. So the increase in things like childhood obesity, depression, academic achievement, all these things that, you know, as parents and educators we look at, or even clinicians and doctors and all that good stuff. There's definitely, you know, this the term he coined was nature deficit disorder. But it doesn't stop at youth. You know, a lot of people are like, well, you know, it's great to get kids out, but it goes all the way out, you know, into our adulthood. You know, we're all wired in all the time. So we really need, and this has been proven time and time again. In fact, mass media now, just recently, has these new, you know, research studies they're reporting on, which is really not that new, that technology is actually bad for your child. It's like, yeah, we've known this for 20 years. You know, so it's good that the mass media is now caught on. My hope is that, you know, there's more support for organizations like ours, and we have many here in Sandpoint. We're very fortunate at this point, you know, Conixie Land Trust, Scotch and Peaks, Soul, all these organizations are doing youth outdoor education programming, which is essential because these kids at school, they're still wired in. Mm-hmm. They're doing their education on a computer. They go home, they get on the computer, do their homework. And it's really, it affects their brain, their cognition, you know, and how their brain functions and how their brain is wired. So,
yeah, it's so important to get them outside. And such an irony here that where we have abundant outdoors
proximity,
and the proximity to it, and yet the availability of it for some kids, if they're latchkey kids, if they're at a farm in the Sully Valley, the trail's not right outside their door. There's private farmland, and they've got to get there. And that means the parents or the school or someone's got to lead them there, guide them there, drive them there.
Yeah. And so, you know, that is a definite challenge. So the folks that are living more rural, and then you have the, well, my, you know, both my parents are working full-time jobs, and, you know, and I understand the logic of, well, you know, just go home and play video games.
Right.
But the reality is like, that's not healthy, you know? And so, you know, that is definitely a big part of our intent of founding Soul, is to address the nature deficit disorder, for lack of better words, that does exist, to provide those opportunities for children, but also just to kind of support our overall community health. You know, so if we're more informed, you know, citizens, then we can make better choices.
So the start was with the summer programming, and that looks like trips for kids?
Yeah. So we did some place-based education, which is basically educating kids on their local environs, or environment. So you know, what lives out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's a habitat, you know, what kind of habitat is it? Just very inquiry based, getting them once again hands-on, you know, experiential in design, but definitely teaching them about their local environment. So we did that for ages 4 to 10, and then we scaffolded the program to do our leader of the day experiences or lead experiences, which is like a step up, and that's where we start getting into leadership, developing leadership in children, and then our teen trek is like a capstone experience for that program where kids get to go out on a week-long expedition. So last year we took a sabbatical. I got to remember now. 2 years ago, we took them on the Salmon River for like 5 days.
Oh, nice.
That was awesome. Yeah.
So how did you pivot and do winter stuff?
Winter stuff, yeah. So that was pretty quick and easy because for many reasons. One, we saw, well, the winters are long here.
Yeah.
Kids need to get outside in winter. And so we partnered with a organization down in Boise called the Winter Wildlands Alliance, who actually hosts the Backcountry Film Festival. You know, they put on the tour every year. So I spoke with them. I went and observed their snow school program at Bogus Basin, you know, to see what they were doing. And then really we had an opportunity, we built a pilot program. This is all through conversations with the school district, et cetera. Sean Woodward at the time was the superintendent. And I basically pitched to him. I said, look, we'll do it for a select group of fifth graders for the first year. And we'll do it for $5 a kid, which is absurd, obviously, because it's expensive. But I knew that the benefit and the positivity would cultivate and grow the program, and it did. You know, teachers came back raving about it because we're addressing math standards, science standards, you know, all aligned to, you know, what they have to teach, you know, within that grade level. And we were doing it in a really novel fashion, you know, getting kids on the mountain, digging snow pits, looking at the snowpack in a comprehensive way, and then going back and, you know, after they collect their data, analyzing their data in real time and comparing and contrasting to historical trends. This is pretty complex stuff, even for a fifth grader, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, most high school kids in other parts of the country aren't doing this kind of stuff. And it's really, really, really neat because they walk away with a really firm understanding of the natural systems at work, i.e. the water cycle, fifth grade learning standard, okay? But they learn it in a really both a complex and a really tangible way. So they actually understand it. And then line graphing. You know, they graph. That's a fifth grade math standard.
So how long is it? How long has that been? When did that start?
Oh, the program itself started in 2012. We grew it, obviously, and changed it. You know, in collaboration with the school district to make sure we're meeting different benchmarks and things of that nature. We've also extended it to offer other out-of-school programs to include, like, you know, different STEM type stuff, from building igloos and all kinds of cool stuff like that to now avalanche education. So
what does this winter look like?
Well, we're going to do a little bit of that avalanche education on some weekend programs. We're going to be looking at that. So if you have youth ages 10 to 12, look at that. And then if you have an older child, I would definitely encourage you to look at Panhandle Alliance, the Avalanche
Center. IPAC.
Yeah, thank you. Idaho
Panhandle Avalanche.
It's early. It's early, Phil. It's early. look at their website for a level one course. Ages 16 and up is kind of an appropriate age for that. But, yeah, we're offering those. And then, again, we're doing our normal fifth grade snow school program, so every fifth grader in the district will have that opportunity. And I would like just to put a plug in. We were awarded a couple of grants, one from the Stimson Miller Foundation and another from the Charlotte Moore Foundation. So we will be offering some other opportunities. So if you have a fifth grade school classroom that you're a teacher and you would like to do snow school, definitely reach out to us and let's get your kids on the snow.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And so we've got a pretty full winter coming up, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's going to be action-packed. We're getting, we got our training coming up here next week. So, you know, our little team will be up there. We'll be getting the yurt. We have a 30-foot yurt up at Schweitzer. Schweitzer's a huge partner of ours. We've been operating on their ground for, you know, since the program's inception. They allowed us to put a 30-foot yurt up there, and it's heated, and it's a great little space to base out of. We call it our Mountain Field Campus.
It's a great home base.
It is. It's awesome.
Yeah. So all of the activities take place up there.
Yep. Mostly outdoors. We do come back in, warm up, and obviously assess and synthesize the data they collect and all that kind of good stuff. But
all right. Well, we want to talk about upcoming events and such. Let's take a short song break, though, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the new year, what's coming up with upcoming events for Soul, and maybe a little peek at the rest of 2026. We are still in the Christmas holiday spirit, and if there's nothing that will get you there more than this next song, I don't know what it is. So hang on for some Christmas wrapping. Merry Christmas. Christmas wrapping by the Waitresses. That's a blowback from the 80s, Denison.
Yeah, Phil.
Not everybody's Christmas song, but, you know, I remember from a long time ago. We're back here at KRFY, the morning show, Tuesday's morning show for this December 30th, last one of the year. We have with us today Denison Webb, founder, executive director of the Selkirk Outdoor Leadership Education Group. We're talking a whole range of programs, but we're focusing on winter because it's winter school season, avalanche awareness season, and upcoming events. Denison, tell us a little bit about what January holds. The last few Januaries, there's been a local showing of the Backcountry Film Fest, I believe.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So once again, we're hosting January 9th, the 21st annual Backcountry Film Festival. So it's been touring the world for 21 years, which is pretty awesome. It's a collection of juried films, really with a human, celebrating the human powered experience in the winter backcountry. So the, you know, the cinematography, the shots are all really focused on that kind of vibe, if you will. So if you like winter, if you like, you know, recreating on our public lands, I would definitely encourage you to come out and check out this year. You know, that's you know, a pretty important part of this year's festival. It's really celebrating, you know, our public lands and recreating on our public lands. And, you know, I think that's a pretty, not to get political because we're not a political organization, you know, but I think it's a pretty apolitical thing or non-political thing that, you know, our public lands benefit everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they enjoy broad support by the public.
Yeah, as they should. Yeah.
Always some great films in that lineup. Look forward to it every year. Can you give us any teasers? Do you have a
I don't have the films here in front of me, Phil. I apologize. I'm not prepared. But if you go to the Winter Wildlands Alliance website, you'll be able to find there their list of films. We also, on our website, soulexperiences.org, we have a tab there for the Backcountry Film Festival, where you can learn more. Tickets, if you want to purchase tickets for the event, you can do that on Eventbrite. Just go, you know, in the search little area, type in 21st Annual Backcountry Film Festival Sample in Idaho, and it'll populate. But if you go to our social media feeds, we're on Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff, you can purchase tickets right off the link there.
And let's just go over the details, the date and location.
Yeah, so January 9th. And the doors will open at 6 o'clock. Show starts at 7, goes to about 10 o'clock. But you can purchase tickets there at the door as well. We have several ticket levels, youth, general admission, as well as a donation ticket.
And again, it's at the Panda.
It's at the Panda Theater, the historic
Panda. Yeah. Well, often tickets are available online there. Is that the case this time?
Yeah, you can go to their website too and click on that link. It'll take you right to the Eventbrite link. I probably should have mentioned that, Phil. Thank you.
Well, I just wanted to know where we're going to go.
Yeah, usually, I mean, you can go.
Usually it's been the Panda, but sometimes you guys throw us a wrinkle and it goes somewhere else.
Well, we went to the Hive one year, but really we want the youth to be there. We want it to be family, and it is a family-friendly event. We want to encourage you know, families in our community to come out and enjoy a film.
Yeah.
And it'll be a good night for it this week. So, yeah, if you're in our town, even if you're not from Sandpoint, come by and support a local nonprofit.
Yeah.
And we'll have a big raffle. We have Some really cool stuff. Again, this year, every year we have really cool things to raffle off. But this year we're doing another Schweitzer ski chair. So if you want to win a Schweitzer ski chair and convert it to a port swing, we have that going on. We have a really cool trip to up to Schweitzer to go with cat skiing and dinner. And,
yeah. Now, this is just the chair. You don't get the whole overhead equipment to do the gondola thing into town or wherever to your neighbor's property.
No, Phil.
Yeah.
No, you just get the chair.
They're pretty classic, though.
No. Yes, they are very classic, and, yeah. And I strongly recommend that you don't need to be present to win. I will deliver it personally to your house. Raffle tickets for that specific prize for the ski chair will be $25. Yeah. The Schweitzer ski trip, cat ski trip, will also be a $25 raffle ticket because it's a more pricey deal. And then we'll have a lot of baskets that are lower end raffle tickets. So, you know, if you only you know got a couple of bucks, you still win something. Yeah. You know, so we want to make it fun for everybody. So,
awesome. So, what else is coming up for 2026?
2026, you know, is going to be a really interesting year for us. We're looking at building these conservation camps. So this will be a pilot year. These programs are going to be a little bit different in what we've done traditionally. Still have the vein of outdoor education, learning hands-on, and teaching them about, you know, local critters and their habitat and all that. But we're going to take a different kind of slant on it in that we're going to tap into the hunting and fishing realm. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be, you know, I also run a gun dog kennel. I don't know if people know that, but one of our dogs, we breed and train American Labradors. One of them is working as an avi dog up at Schweitzer. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be sharing dogs as a conservation tool, but we're also going to be like building wood duck boxes and partnering with those different groups that here in Idaho and, you know, regionally and nationally that do that kind of work. So I don't have it fully fleshed out, so I can't speak too much about it. But that's really kind of a brief overview.
Mm-hmm. Targeting the same youth orientation.
Yes, youth specific. Yep.
When you say, I think most people, they hear conservation camp, are going to think immediately the CCC, at least those of a certain gray-haired color, the ones
trail work.
Remember that trail work and, you know, building parkways and lodges and
I mean, we could do work. I could see us doing pulling some invasive weeds or, you know, and and doing that type of thing, but it'd probably be more like habitat work, you know, like building a wood duck box.
And although you haven't fully flushed out, are you envisioning this to be camp like where they go somewhere for the summer or for a week or two anyway?
So if you have kids that you want to get involved in conservation related camps, then I would definitely encourage you just to kind of check back on our website or social media pages periodically as we share news. So these will be developing over the next couple of weeks. We'll have something firmed up. We just want to make sure it's all mapped out before we announce it to the masses.
Yeah, that sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it because, you know, it's something that we haven't really tapped into that population. You know, a lot of those kids get kind of, they might do snow school, of course, you know, but that's kind of where their soul experience ends. Mm-hmm. So we would love to provide that opportunity for them as well.
Yeah, something to come back to and look forward in the summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we do have a fairly long summer season.
Yeah, our summer season is great.
Yeah, it's just spring and fall get compressed sometimes.
Yep.
Well, what else is on your mind, Dennison? We're kind of winding down towards the end of the interview.
Yeah.
We'll want to touch base at least one more time on the
Backcountry Film Fest. I would definitely just say we'd love to see folks on January 9th at 6 p.m. at the Panda Theater for the 21st annual Backcountry Film Festival. If you cannot make it there, please consider donating to our end of the year campaign or annual Reach and Teach campaign is still underway right now. And you can donate directly on our website. Our website is Sole, S-O-L-E, experiences, and that's plural, .org, soulexperiences.org. Phil got a call.
Oh, it's going to have to wait. He went to voicemail.
But yeah, please come out for the 21st Annual Backcountry Film Festival, or if you can't make it, please consider giving us an end-of-the-year donation. We would greatly appreciate it, and we hope to see you all at the event.
Yeah, well, thank you, Denison. If you're just tuning in, this is the morning show, Tuesday morning show on KRFY. I'm your host, Phil Huff. This is the last one for 2025, and we were honored to have a guest on today, Denison Webb. You should change your name to Denison Soul. Denison Webb from Seoul.
So I'm trying to detach, Phil.
Try retirement. It's a good thing.
I know.
Selkirk.
It looks good on you.
Well, we're almost there. That'll be the topic for another show, I think. But Denison Webb from Selkirk Outdoor Leadership Education, thank you for coming on the show this morning.
My pleasure. Denison.
Okay. We're going to go out with a hopeful song, sort of a holiday-ish song, an interesting version of Let It Snow.